to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy. Hello, listeners. You know, a funny thing's been happening as we've been doing these podcasts. We seem to have made something of a name for ourselves among particular folks, a particular population of folks. The podcast we did where we interviewed Abraham and Sarah in particular seems to have gotten the attention of some other members of their family, some later generation. We've been contacted yet again by a couple of folks who are well known to the people of the Abraham and Sarah generation, none other than their son Isaac and his wife Rebecca. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, they've been having some pretty serious marital issues that they want our help with. I guess we've kind of, you know, we're sort of known as therapists to the patriarchs and matriarchs, I guess so.
To the biblical stars.
there we are, therapists to the biblical stars. And so, you know, we're, of course, willing to help. We are willing to do that. And so we're going to be having an interview with Isaac and Rebecca you know, see if we can help them out. Before we do that, let's just mention, first of all, the name of our podcast, of course, is Couples Therapy in 7 Words. And that, in turn, came from one of the central concepts of my book,
Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And I hope you will look for that book anywhere you can buy books, or you can go to my website, brucechalmer.com. There you'll see there's a tab that says books. And more information is there, including how you can get a hold of it. And the book is based on that 7-word formula. And the 7 words are...
Be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
Exactly. Be kind, don't panic, and have faith. And so that's when I do my work as a couples therapist, which those of you who've been listening to this podcast know that that is my profession, and I'm still very active in that. That's the principles that guide a lot of the work that I do, and we've talked about a lot of that in other podcasts. So in helping out anybody we work with, we do try to apply those principles, and we'll see how that turns out in helping out Isaac and Rebecca today. So without further ado, we're going to do as we've done before. We'll invite them in by Zoom, and we'll be interviewing each of them separately, with the other one, you know, they'll be muted, but they'll be hearing it, so they'll get to hear what's going on. And then we'll bring them in together and see if we can help them out. Mm-hmm. So perhaps today you want to start off, Judy, you want to interview Isaac first, perhaps?
Sure.
I think this time it's kind of unusual for the man to be the one that contacts us, but this time it was Isaac, which is kind of... you know, it's not like it's unheard of, but it's more common for the woman of a heterosexual couple to contact me. But this time it was Isaac, so we'll
start with Isaac.
We'll start with Isaac. Okay. So Judy, if you'd patch in Isaac.
Sure. Okay. Well, welcome to our show, Isaac. Or would you like me to call you Yitzhak, or how do you prefer to be addressed?
I'm okay with anything. I mean, you know, my friends call me Ikey. But you can call me Isaac, or if you want to use the Hebrew, you can use Yitzchak. That works too. Just don't laugh at me when you say it. You know, the word has to do with laughing, and I've had to deal with this my entire life.
Okay, I won't. Okay, I think I'll call you Isaac, okay?
I appreciate that.
Okay, yes. So Isaac, would you like to state why you have contacted me and Bruce and what you're hoping to get out of our session today?
Yes, I will tell you. You know, of course, as I think, should I call him Bruce or Dr. Chalmer? I'll call him Bruce. What Bruce mentioned in the little intro there before you brought me in was that you interviewed Abraham and Sarah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my dad and my mom. And, you know, not that a kid wants to hear... I'm a grown-up here, you know. Not that a kid, even a grown-up kid, wants to hear his parents' marital problems, but I did notice that I think you were very helpful. And I got to tell you, my wife, Rebecca, and I know she's listening, Becky's listening, and, you know, she's a wonderful woman, and I fell in love with her very early, and we've had a good marriage, but... The thing she pulled recently, I don't know if I can get past this. She pulled a fast one on me big time. And maybe I should tell you the story. Should I tell you like what happened?
Yeah, please do.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. So, you know, I'm an old man, let's face it. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know, I've been around for a long time and I can't see very well anymore. I mean, you know, I've had some problems with my vision ever since Dad, you know, Abraham, you know, almost slit my throat. I think we talked about that. You talked about that when Abraham and Sarah were talking to you. So he almost slits my throat. And, you know, the gleam from the knife, it's like never left me. So I've had a hard time with my vision ever since. Mm. So, and I'm, as I say, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So I'm getting pretty old. And I'm realizing it's time I need to, you know, we've got two kids. I didn't mention that today. We got two kids. You know, it seems to be a thing in families. You know, one of our kids is going one way and the other's going the other. They're twins. They're fraternal twins. They're not identical, but they're fraternal twins. And the older one, Esau, he's kind of a rough guy, but you know, I like him. He's a guy of the field. He knows how to hunt. He's a man's man. What can I tell you? You know, and I kind of like this. Mm-hmm. The other one, Jacob, you know, he's a little bit of a nebbish. He's, you know, he's not so much into the manly things. And I, you know, maybe I'm an old-fashioned guy, but look, I'm well over 100 years old. I get to be an old-fashioned guy. And, you know, he's kind of a nebbish. I don't like him quite as much, but fair enough. They're both my sons. So I realize I'm, you know, getting on and I need to give my blessing to the next generation. This is what people do. And of course, you know, in our culture, what we do is we bless the firstborn. He's the one who's going to carry on the family name, right? So I say, hey, Esau, you're the firstborn. You go get me some of that food I really like. You know, you're a good hunter. Go get it. You know, catch something and dress it up real nice the way I like it and bring it to me. And then that's going to make me really happy. And I'm going to give you such a blessing I'm going to give you. You're going to really be blessed. Right. So this is what I do. Well, next thing I know, much sooner than I'm expecting, all of a sudden in walks somebody. I'm assuming it's Esau. And he says, hey, Dad, I've got some stuff for you, like you said. And I got to tell you, I'm immediately suspicious because he doesn't sound like Esau. Frankly, he sounds a lot like Jacob. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, my vision is not great and my hearing is not what it used to be. I'm willing to, you know, allow for some doubt there. And I say to him, hey, who are you? And he says, I'm your firstborn. You know, I'm Esau. What do you think? You know? I'm thinking, all right, well, fair enough. And I'm still a little suspicious. I say, look, come on over. Let me give you a little hug. Let me feel you. You know, give me a kiss. Let's see who you are. And I feel him, and he's hairy like his. I mean, Esau's a hairy guy. And Jacob's smooth. So I'm feeling, and he feels, well, this is a hairy guy. So, all right, fair enough. This maybe is actually Esau. And I eat the stuff, and the stuff's good. He serves me this really good stuff. And I give him a blessing. I guess my heart is moved. You know, I tell him, hey, Gavalt, you're going to be such a, you know, a leader of people, and your brother's going to save you, and all these things are going to be wonderful, right? So there's the blessing. And I got to tell you, by us, in our culture, you give a blessing, the blessing is done. Mm-hmm. You can't take it back. That's the way it works, right? So he leaves, and all of a sudden, who's there? Somebody else walks in and says, in Esau's voice, and says, hey, Dad, I got the stuff you wanted, and how about eating? And I'm thinking, Gavalt, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Who do you think I am? Who do you think you sent out there into the field to catch the stuff? And it took, you know, I caught the stuff. And I'm thinking, Gavalt, I just blessed your brother thinking it was you. And you know, I can't take back the blessing. And oy, he gives a geschrei. He is so upset. And he is just crying and telling me, David, you got a blessing for me, Father. And I'm thinking, Gavalt. So I give him a blessing too. But it's, you know, I got to tell you, it's kind of weak compared to his brother's blessing. I'm telling him, it's like, well, sorry, you know, you don't get the big blessing. So he's really annoyed. And then I'm realizing, guess who's behind this? Well, who's behind this is their mother. Because she's always favored Jacob, you know? This has been a bone of contention between the two of us for a long time. She's always favored Jacob. Hey, Jacob's the one who's going to be doing everything right. And Esau, he's, you know, what good is he? And he goes and marrying those Hittite women, and I can't even stand it. And she's just so upset about this. So come to find out, she's behind this. Well, there's my story. So what am I, how am I supposed to trust her anymore? You know, she was a really, she was a good, I thought she was a good wife to me all these years. How am I supposed to trust her? So that's my problem. And I hope you can help us with that.
I hope so. Boy, that's a tough one. How are you going to trust your wife when it sounds like she has deceived you?
It's very difficult.
And you're sure that that's how it happened?
As far as I can tell, that's how it happened. I mean, you know, I was there, and it was pretty obvious from what happens after, and maybe I'll fill in the blanks there. So what happens after that is, next thing I know, here's Rebecca coming to me and saying, we can't have Jacob marrying one of these shiksas from the, you know, local population. We got to go and get somebody from the clan, you know, so you got to send him back to my brother, to Laban. And he should get a wife from that family. And you can't, you know, you can't let it be that it, like what our other son Esau did, marrying those local women, and it's driving us crazy. And I'm thinking, all right, well, she's making a point about that. See, this is before I've totally figured out that she's behind this whole ruse.
Has she ever given you a reason to doubt her before? Has she ever done anything like this or anything deceitful to you in the past?
Nothing I can think of. I mean, she's always been a faithful wife as far as I can tell. You know, she's willing to play along when I say to Avimelech, it's just like my father had to do with my mother. You know, I had to say to Avimelech, you know, this is my sister, not my wife, because hey, you know, Gewalt.
I remember that story.
You know that. Well, I had to do the same thing, and she went along with it. She was, you know, she played along. She was, you know, a good sport about the whole thing. So no, I don't think she's pulled the wool over my eyes, or in this case, the lambskin over my eyes before. So or goatskin, I guess it was. I don't know. I suppose we can ask her what the deal is.
I think we should. Bruce, what do you say? Should we bring Rebecca in on this and find out from her side of the story what's going on?
Yeah, I think that would be a very good idea. Let's bring in Rebecca and hear what she's saying. And, you know, I hope we can help the two of you out. So, sure, let's patch in Rebecca. And Isaac, we're going to put you on mute. So we're just going to hear from Rebecca right now. So, Rebecca, hello. Welcome to our podcast. And I wondered, you know, you heard what Isaac had to say, and I wonder if you could tell us your point of view about all of this.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me on your program. I understand it helped my in-laws a lot. So I'm hoping you can help us too, because, well, what Isaac said is not too far from the truth. But let me tell you, he's always favored that first one, Esau. And Esau was a wild, hairy kid from the get-go. The second he came out of my womb, it was like he was... I have to go back even further. In the womb, I felt pow, pow, pow. And even God said to me, and this is God telling me, you got two nations in there, Rebecca, and the older one is gonna serve the younger one. So all their lives, I knew that my Jakey was destined to be the great one, not that wild, hairy guy, Esau. I tried with him. I tried to get him to behave like a nice kid, to be kind to his mother, to respect me. And you know what he did? All the time. It was like I would say something, he'd go running to his father. He'd say, Dad, Mommy wants me to do this. That kid, I swear to God, every time I had to give him a zets on the side of the head, he was such a boy, a pisher. And Jacob, I never had to raise my voice with him right from the start. Yes, Mother. What do you need, Mother? I'll help you. He would come. He would sit down. He'd help me peel beans. He'd help me cook dinner. He would study. He was a mensch. That Esau, I'm sorry to say, I love both boys, but boy, he was a tough one. So when it came time for the blessing, God told me that Jacob was gonna get it, not the first one. So if you got anybody to blame, Ike, you gotta blame the Holy One, blessed be he. You know who I'm talking about, because it wasn't my idea, but you know, I could never tell Isaac anything. I would say to him, you know, your son Esau, and every time I would bring up something he was doing, he was like, ah, he's a good boy. Leave him alone. You don't understand boys. Boys will be boys. They're wild, blah, 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 blah. You know, he would say stuff like that, always making excuses for him. So when it came time to get the blessing, I couldn't say to him, you know what, God wants Jacob to get the blessing, give it to him. He would have said, oh, I think you're wrong. The oldest one has to get the blessing. So yes, I had to deceive him. I took the goat skins and I wrapped Jacob's arms in them and I put the goat skins around his neck and I put Esau's stinking, disgusting clothes that he never washes on my Jakey, and he went into his father with those hairy hands, that hairy neck, and that smelly B.O., and he said, it's me, father, it's your son, and I told him, the onus is on me. You go in there, and whatever responsibility, it's my responsibility, because God told me. Not Ike, not Esau, but Jakey is the one that's going to get the blessing. So you go in there, you pretend that you're your brother, you get that blessing, because your brother cares nothing for it. He sold his birthright. Do you remember that story, Isaac? Do you remember how he sold his birthright because he was so hungry? He comes in from the field, he sees Jacob making that stew of lentils for his grandfather's Shiva. And he's got the nerve to go out and come in and say, oh, sure, I'll give you my birthright. Sure, what do I care? It doesn't do me any good. I'm starving. I'm going to die of starvation. Like he couldn't wait 25 minutes to prepare something. No, he had to have it now. So that tells me he was not ready. He was not the one to get the blessing. And then he goes and marries those Hittite women. Oi, don't get me started.
Wow. Wow. Gee, Rebecca, that is... That is quite a story. You know, I am really struck by a lot of things that you said, especially right from the get-go, you were having to deal with. And Judy, let me bring you into this too, because, you know, I have no experience being a woman, especially not a pregnant woman. That must be something to, right from the get-go, to be experiencing not only just a difficult pregnancy. I mean, I can imagine that, but that sense that you already know that you're going to have this issue with two kids and you're going to be favoring one of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, I would think that would be really hard right from the start.
And, well, I never had twins, so I don't know, but I do have two children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you try to treat them equally, but I never got any sign from God that says, well, you know, favor this one over the other. Yeah. So I can't really speak to what Rebecca's dealing with.
And, you know, Rebecca, I want to ask you this, because it reminds me of what we were talking with your in-laws about, actually, where all of a sudden, you know, Abraham gets this message from God. He hears the voice of God telling him to go sacrifice, you know, turned out to be your husband. Mm. And I'm, how do you know, it's something we were wondering, something I'm sure Sarah was wondering about Abram. Like, how do you know it's the voice of God? How do you know you're not supposed to say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be favoring one kid over another like this? I mean, Rebecca,
I will tell you, when it's God, you know. I can't even tell you how. You just know. You get a sign, you get a feeling, there's like an aura that comes down, and it's not like somebody who's playing tricks on you, because I had, you know, people try to do that before saying, oh, this is the Lord, and it's not that. It's not that at all. It's something that, unless it has happened to you, you just can't describe it. You know in your heart, you know in every single fiber of your body that this is the Lord talking to you. It's not your husband, it's not your kids, it's not your conscience, it's not even your mother, it's God.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's bring in Isaac at this point, because we've heard from each of you, let's unmute Isaac there. So I want to ask Isaac, you've heard what your wife has been saying, and how do you reconcile her sense, her certainty about hearing the voice of God, rather similar to how your father did when he almost sacrificed you, and you went along with that, as we were told by your dad. So how do you reconcile that with the sense that you felt that it was somehow wrong for her to be, so favoring Jacob at the expense of your son Esau?
That's a very difficult question, I will tell you, because, all along I do realize I am the male heir to my father. It didn't go through my half-brother Ishmael. It went through me. I'm the one who's supposed to be following the voice of God, and I hear it too. I'm part of the same heritage that Rebecca is part of, and she's been along with it, And so I realize that is a very difficult thing. And I have my own doubts along the way about, whether Esau is going to be capable of carrying things on. I mean, those ideas are not foreign to me. And I'll tell you something else. I even know that Rebecca's a prophet too. I know she hears the voice of God. We had even signs she hears the voice of God. I bring her, she comes back to meet me. I'm coming along. It was really kind of a romantic story.
It was so romantic.
Yeah, I'm coming along, and she's riding on a camel with her, her entourage coming from her brother's place, and I'm coming back from I was visiting my stepmother Hagar, and actually trying to convince her to come and get back together with my father, because I saw my mother was probably not long for this world. Anyway, so there is. I see her in the distance, and she sees me in the distance, and then she's a knockout, I'll tell you. And
oh, boy, was he hot looking. I fell off my camel. That's how good looking he was.
And so, this was beshert, as we would say in a later language. It was foreordained. We were obviously right for each other. And so I take her into my late mother's tent, and, there was a sign clearly that this was what God wanted, because the flame that used to burn from one Shabbat to the next all of a sudden is burning again the way it was when my mother was in that tent. And here I bring my wife in, and I'm going to start crying now because this is so emotional for me. I'm remembering the days when we knew we were right for each other.
It was a lovely time.
It was a lovely time. And now, what happens? Well,
yeah, that's a good question. How do you go from it's a lovely time to she's deceiving me and she's feeling that you don't listen to her and you have this problem with your children? So how do you go from the tent to where you are now?
Yeah, Judy, it's a great question. I want to add to that a little bit. Because it's interesting to me that here's this couple that is so clearly right for each other. And again, I'm thinking about their, about Isaac's parents. It's like, well, they were clearly right for each other too.
Right.
You get the voice of God involved, and it gets really complicated.
Mm.
That's really interesting.
I'll say it gets complicated. What can I tell you? Sometimes the voice of God is telling us things that don't exactly fit with our getting along so well.
And that voice, that's what I said. You just said that you were the one to inherit your father's line, right? And if I know, and I tried telling you that Jacob was the one that's going to get it, and you never wanted to hear that. It was all those years. It was like, no, Esau's the oldest. He gets it. Well, you know what? You weren't the oldest either, and you got it. So why do you begrudge your youngest son that he gets it?
Well, I'll tell you, part of it is, maybe, I don't know, I'm just thinking of this now. Part of it is I don't want to end up in a situation where I'm supposed to slit somebody's throat either. Maybe this heritage we're getting here, I need to question on occasion. And look at what it's making us do. I mean, how is it a good thing that we end up being so awful to our firstborn son and he gets so angry and then he ends up wanting to kill our other son? I mean, is this a good outcome? Is this the way it's supposed to be? I don't know. I mean, I understand you hear the voice of God, I suppose by definition, that's the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't make it easy, I'll tell you.
Well, why don't we ask those experts over here? What do you say, you two? How are you going to help us? How do we deal with this? How does he trust me again? And how does he see that I'm always right?
Well, those are actually the first how does he trust you is a different question from how does he see that you're always right, because he's probably, I don't know, Judy, what do you think?
I think she's got a point there.
I'm often...
I think God said it the best when he was, when God was talking to Sarah and said to Abraham, listen to your wife.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, we commented on that.
There's precedent.
There is absolutely precedent. We commented on that when we were talking to Abraham and Sarah. I will say, I often suggest, and this is a very gendered thing when I'm working with a heterosexual couple, I'm often suggesting to the man, especially because men, look, we as men aren't often great at listening to women, at really listening and
you are not kidding.
Yeah, I hear that, Rebecca. So I do often point that out. Having said that, I don't suggest that anybody think that the other person is always right, because they're not. We're all human beings. I mean, even those of us who are prophets are still human beings, and in our tradition, we don't claim that our prophets are perfect. Even later on, Moses, who was like our quintessential leader, he was not perfect. He made mistakes. He was not God. And so, we don't think any of our great leaders were divine themselves. I mean, they were human beings, So I'd be hard-pressed to suggest to either one of them that the other one's always right. But I will say what I usually tell people, and here I'll bring in the seven-word formula, be kind, don't panic, and have faith. A lot of the don't panic part means, it doesn't mean don't have anxiety about stuff. It means don't panic about it. In other words, tolerate the anxiety, because that's what you need for intimacy, to tolerate the anxiety. So here you have, and I guess maybe Isaac, I'll say this to you. Here is your wife, and she's doing these things that just seem so wrong on some level, and yet on some other level, she's got reason to feel that it's right. And somehow you have to be able to not panic about that complexity. And I suppose that's what I would be inviting both of you to do, really. I would be inviting Isaac to understand where she was coming from. Actually, we were pointing that out earlier. She's not, obviously, neither one of you thinks the other one is crazy, and neither one of you thinks the other one is evil. You're two good people, and you're doing the best you can. And sometimes, especially when the voice of God gets involved, which is really well beyond human understanding, that is complex. It's not, you have to be able to tolerate contradiction. Ordinarily, I wouldn't suggest that a spouse deceive their spouse, right? It's just, you shouldn't do it. But what do you do in a situation like this? It is just not that simple. So I don't know, Isaac, does that make any sense to you?
Well, it's not easy to make sense of. But I think I understand what you're saying, that it's, I've heard the voice of God too. I understand it can be difficult and complicated, and it really does make me think back to my father, because I was there, I was there, and I knew what was going on. I'm no dummy. I could tell what was happening. And, here we were, and he was going up the mountain, and he had everything but the thing to slaughter, and it was pretty obvious what he was intending to do. And I realized it's the voice of God. We got to go along with this. So I have some experience with that. I just didn't expect it would come back to bite me this way. I don't know. Rebecca, I guess I'm wondering, do you still want to be with me? Do you, I suppose you could have just sort of put me out the pasture, but, that's what I'm wondering.
Oi, Ikey, hearing you talk like this is bringing tears to my eyes. I never looked at it that way. Like you're this little pawn in the game. First your father does this to you, and now you're feeling like your wife is doing this to you. And, it's breaking my heart. I never meant to deceive you like this. I tried talking to you. We haven't always communicated the best, now I'm feeling like poor Ikey. He's, trapped between, he's this pawn in the Lord's game, trapped between his dad and his wife. And I don't know, maybe you weren't hearing from God the way we were hearing from God. Maybe there's a little bit of jealousy on your part? I don't know, because God talks to your dad so much, and God talked to me so much, and you a little bit, but not as much. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you feel a little bad that God wasn't giving you the signs and giving it to me. So I feel really badly about my part in this, Isaac, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And, you know, when you see what a mensch that Jacob makes of himself and goes on to be, to carry on your legacy, maybe that will help.
Well, I have to tell you, Rebecca, I do appreciate you saying that. That does help me. And, you know, I hadn't thought about maybe I'm a little, I don't know if jealous is the right word, but it's been difficult, yeah, having this sense of, okay, everybody knocks around poor Isaac. You know, it's like Abraham's the one who's doing all the stuff and he's active. And even my, you know, our little pisher Jacob, and he's all of a sudden, he's cooperating in this scheme you come up with. And I can see there's going to be great things for him down the line. So it's true. Maybe it's been a little difficult, but I'll tell you, it does my heart good to hear you realizing that it's hard for me sometimes. And look, I know it's hard for you too. I didn't always listen to you, and maybe I should listen better. Wow, Judy, I think I'm really touched.
Wow. Wow. A double wow on the part of both of you for coming to this realization so quickly. Boy, that's I don't know, Bruce, when you deal with couples, do they have that aha moment so quickly?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you know what it is, and I often explain this to people. You know, what is it that, what can a couples therapist do for you? You know, there's a zillion ways of answering that question. But one of the main things, and I've often said this explicitly to couples, one of the main things that I can provide, if I can, and this is what I strive to provide, is just the faith part. It's the part that says, look, there's something about this situation, even when it's just awful. I mean, you know, this situation was really hard for the two of them. Mm-hmm. But of course, there are other situations where it's like other kinds of deception, like infidelity or, you know, all sorts of lying and, you know, financial shenanigans and things of that sort. And it's the idea, what faith says about that, it doesn't say, oh, that's just all okay and you should just immediately, you know, forget about anything mm-hmm. that bad happens. That's ridiculous. But what it does say is that there's always something meaningful about it, even when it's wrong or painful or difficult, that you have to be able to look at the meaning of it. We talk about this in some of our other podcasts, actually.
Right.
And actually, not too long ago, we did one about faith specifically. And so if what I can embody when I'm working with couples is that sense of faith in their essential validity. You know, they're both valid people. And Isaac and Rebecca, that applies to you too. You're clearly both good and valid, and you know, you're not crazy. You know, you're doing the best you can, as we all are. And when you can appreciate that about each other, even when you've been hurt and you've hurt each other, that's when people can find what we just saw happen with Isaac and Rebecca, that mm-hmm. they can actually hear each other and, yeah. and feel that kind of being mm-hmm. touched. So this, why don't we and, you know, wind up this session. And let me ask Rebecca, for starters, I mean, how are you doing right now?
Well, I do have to say I'm feeling, it's hard to put into words, you know. I'm feeling like a weight has been lifted in one sense. And I'm also feeling really badly for my role in this. And I feel badly that I couldn't talk to Isaac about this because he wasn't ready to hear it. And now it seems like he's ready to hear it. So I feel good that he finally validates my role in this matriarchal saga that's playing out. So I feel good about that. And I feel very loving toward him because I see that so many things in his life, he had a hard life, you know, with his mother and stepmother and the father thing with the sacrifice. And then, you know, he had it tough. And I guess I could have made it easier for him. But I think at this point, maybe the two of us will have better communication.
I wanna add to that, and Rebecca, I so appreciate that. You know, you're that young girl I fell in love with, you know, all these years later. And I know what I fell in love with, and that's it. You know, that sense that, yeah, we've got a tough job. It, you know, it's not easy to be the inheritors of this level of a movement.
You're not kidding.
And, you know, to hear the voice of God is not such a great blessing all the time. You know, it's a burden. And I really appreciate what you're saying. And listen, Bruce and Judy, I really thank you for we were hoping, you know, you seem to help my parents, and you really seem to have helped us as well. And I really do appreciate it. And I got to tell you, I'm going to put in another plug for your book, because I know my parents read it. And, you know, we're having difficulties, and I saw the book lying around, and I started to read it too.
I think we should read it too.
And I think we should, yeah, we should keep on reading. I picked it up, and, you know, that's part of why we contacted you, and we want to read further, and do appreciate all your help here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel like I can go back with a lighter burden.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, and
oh, me too.
Yeah, it is moving when that happens. So thank you, Isaac and Rebecca, and best wishes to you going forward.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you a lot.
Well, Bruce, that was really enlightening.
Yeah, it's amazing when we do these interviews and the things I learn about these characters that I hadn't realized. Well, of course, that's true with any couple I work with. You know, mm-hmm. It's part of why I love this work, is that I learn from everybody I work with. And here working with these particular people that are so well known, and, you know, we're both quite well versed in what's written about them, but to actually talk to them, it really does give you a different viewpoint on, mm-hmm. you know, on their experience.
It does.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we were able to have them reach some type of resolution of their relationship. So for our regular podcast, we always love hearing from our listeners. If you have a question or a topic that you'd like us to address on the show, please email bruce@brucechalmer.com or visit brucechalmer.com.
And when you visit brucechalmer.com, that's where, if you go to the podcast tab, that's where you can get you have access to all of the various episodes we've done. And also, of course, in addition to suggesting like questions of your own or people to interview, which could include yourself, by the way, you can also suggest other historical characters that you'd like us to interview. I'm guessing, you know, we seem to be in something of a pattern here. We've interviewed one generation, Abraham and Sarah, and now we've just done the next. So I'm kind of guessing we'll likely to be contacted by the generation after them. And so we may end up, we'll see if they contact us. Mm-hmm. I expect we'll be hearing from Jacob and at least one of his wives. So we'll see how that plays out. Also, of course, we'd like listeners to let your friends know about this. And this particular one, this particular series of our interviews with biblical characters, we're going to package on its own page just for convenience. So if you have folks who enjoy reading about or hearing about biblical characters, you might let them know about this podcast, and then they can get to hear them actually interviewed. So in addition to letting folks know about the podcast, we also want to put in another plug. And thank you, Isaac, for plugging the book. I want to put in a plug for the book, Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. It's available anywhere books are sold. It's available on paper. It's available as Kindle, for Kindle.
And an audiobook too.
And yours truly was the narrator of that book, so you get to hear me read it in my own voice. And we hope you will do that as well. And so, until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.